WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Weather is making it challenging for holiday travelers trying to get somewhere. CBS News meteorologist Nikki Nolan.
In the south, we have another big round of severe weather along the Gulf Coast states. Another round of tornadoes possible, along with damaging winds, hail, and flash flooding. That system is going to move into the northeast Sunday, so that's going to bring more rain.
And more wet conditions and high surf advisories out west due to atmospheric rivers. In March, longtime CBS sportscaster Greg Gumbel missed his first NCAA tournament since 1997 due to what he said at the time were family health issues. His family issued a statement today saying Gumbel has died of cancer. He was 78. CBS's Dana Jacobson.
Gumbel was beloved as a studio host of the NFL Today and a play-by-play voice for the NFL on CBS. A pioneer as the first African-American to announce a major sporting event.
President-elect Donald Trump is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to pause the potential ban on TikTok. Oral arguments are scheduled for January 10th. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
In a friend of the court brief, a Trump attorney urged justices to pause the ban from going into effect until the new administration can pursue what he called a political resolution to the issue. TikTok and the Biden administration also filed briefs, with the administration saying TikTok poses a national security risk.
The man accused of burning a woman to death on a New York City subway train has been indicted on 4 counts of murder. And Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez says of the victim,
her body was badly burned, and so advanced fingerprinting efforts are being made, as well as advanced DNA evidence to identify her.
Sebastian Zepeda, who entered this country illegally, is being held at Rikers Island. Drones have raised suspicions in parts of the U.S., but for an elderly California man, they've proved to be a lifesaver. CBS's Heather Bosch.
A 75-year-old man missing and suffering from dementia. With the temperature falling and a large search area, the Malibu Lost Hills Sheriff's Department launched a couple of drones with heat-seeking technology.
Within 20 minutes of deploying the drone and getting it up in the air, we were able to locate a really large hotspot.
Deputy Oscar Peraza.
We sent ground crews to go and investigate the hotspot, and they discovered that it was the missing person.
He was cold but alive. Peraza doubts they would have found him in time without the drones.
There has been no top prize Mega Millions winner since September, and tonight's jackpot is now over $1.2 billion, putting a big smile on this New York City ticket buyer's face.
It would be like a new life. It would be being born all over again.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks lose to Brooklyn. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks looked like they were on their way to another home victory until the Nets took command late in the fourth quarter to win 111-105. A disappointed Bobby Portis, who scored 18, sat at his locker after the loss.
Yeah, we could have won that game tonight. We were up. We had momentum. They jumped on us in the fourth quarter, got momentum, and then we didn't recover. It sucks, but we'll be back Saturday. We're going to get a win.
The Bucks travel to Chicago to play the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers getting ready for their rematch against the Minnesota Vikings Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Green Bay lost at home to the Vikings week 4, 31-29. The Vikings led 28-7 at the half.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it wasn't our best game. Obviously, I think just too many turnovers, and I think we just got in the hole early.
We just got off to a slow start, put ourselves in the hole, and you know, I like the way we finished. We did some good things in the second half, but just not good enough in the first half.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The film Gross Point Blank did not have a funny script, according to Minnie Driver. The New York Post reports the Driver, who played the lead role opposite John Cusack, said it was a consensus on the set that the script wasn't funny, so they took it upon themselves to improvise after clearing it with the studio. I wouldn't say the improvising made the film funny. Driver most likely did not get a Christmas card from the writer of Gross Point Blank. Paul Hogan's Crocodile Dundee co-star has passed away at the tender age of 90. Crocodile Heaven just welcomed one of its best actors in Bert the Crocodile. Crocodile, who played opposite Hogan in the charming 1980s comedy that made everyone think they could pull off an Australian accent. Bert the Crocodile died at Crocosaurus Cove, sort of like the Beverly Hills retirement home for crocodiles in Australia. Bert's acting work was commended in the Crocodile franchise, but he had trouble landing roles afterwards, probably because of either bad representation, the fact that he was never good at auditioning, or there were just not enough roles written for crocodiles. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight with areas of rain, maybe a little mixed snow, foggy, and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, a slow clearing, highs in the low 40s, and near 40 and partly sunny Sunday. Mostly cloudy Monday, another chance for showers, highs upper 30s. It's 39 right now.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Yeah, here at Native Roots Radio, we are always excited to be partnering with Little Moments Count and host a conversation focused on early childhood development. And that's a really good timing for us here because we just had our little grandbabies here. Wendy and I watch our grandchildren every Wednesday and Thursday, and we are really happy to work with Little Moments Count, Haley.
Yes, absolutely. We're, you know, honored to bring on guests monthly to talk about how they view the role of early childhood development in creating bright futures and strong communities.
Hey, we have our friend Barb Fabre, and she's CEO of Indigenous Visioning and a White Earth Ojibwe member. And we are always excited to have Barb on. And Barb, are you there? I don't see her.
Oh, no. Is she there? I know she had to turn her camera off because her internet was a little choppy.
Oh, well, you know, let me read a little more here. Indigenous Visioning is committed to supporting healthy and thriving tribal communities that protect tribal sovereignty, and to ensure strong childhood care in early childhood systems and parent empowerment through a cultural lens. Culture promotes identity and belonging, and amen to that.
Yeah, I know. Barb's been on a few times with Little Moments Count. Barb, can you hear us? Okay. Well, we're chatting on the sidelines, so I don't know what's going on. But Barb is a member of the White Earth Nation here in Minnesota. It's kind of a bit north of the Twin Cities here, as are most of our tribes. We cannot hear you, Barb. I'm not sure. Maybe check out your settings there. But I know Barb is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and the nonprofit All Nations Rise. And they have a really popular item in their toolkit, which they're expanding to other communities across Turtle Island. And that's the Indigibox.
Yeah. I love when we talk about that, Haley. I think adults need that. And that's some of us, too, that need a little brushing up on where we're from and who we are. Sometimes that's always exciting to hear from Barb.
Yeah. Little Moments Count. I know you can learn more at littlemomentscount.org. And I think we talk about a lot on the show, like our young ones being our next generation and the ones that we need to pass our knowledge down, pass our stories down to, so that we can continue to be here in our own sovereign way, in our own identities. And
Barb's going to try and log in and leave and log in. Haley, I want to just switch subjects, if you don't mind here. You sent me an article that I saw last night there was a person, or there was a group of kids on a field trip, and a white lady called the feds on them because she thought they were illegal immigrants.
Yeah, that was in Flagstaff, Arizona. I think this happened last Thursday, but I was just seeing about it today. And I actually saw about it on TikTok, of all places, right, where we see a lot of things. In Flagstaff, Arizona, there was a large group of tribal kids, I guess, just going on a field trip. And this, I'm going to say white lady because that's public information. And she called the feds on them and said that they were migrant immigrants coming in across the border. And they were actually, you know, native students are from here, believe it or not.
Right, exactly. Hey, there's Barb. Hey, how you doing, Barb? Oh, we can't hear you still.
No, we can see you this time. Maybe go to your audio settings and change that to your device there. You look great, though, Barb, as always.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, try and change your audio settings because we can't hear you. So back to that story, that's just, how much is this going to happen now that everyone feels like they, have issue with, brown people that they don't like? And, that's just a crazy, crazy situation.
Yeah. Well, I feel like more people are feeling like it's okay to be racist or just like not, I guess, calling in or doing actions that have very damaging repercussions on people. And if you don't know who someone is, you know, I wouldn't make a move like calling the police on them.
Yeah. Amazing. So how much is this going to be a thing now? Barb, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, and now we can hear you.
Yay.
Oh, can you? Great. Yes. Fabulous.
Good thing this isn't a live show. Oh, it is. Oh, my gosh.
Wait a minute. It is. Okay. Yeah. Bonjour.
We're pros.
Hey, good to see you again. And we introduced you a couple times, so I'm going to just jump in. We only have a few minutes left in this segment, but I want to jump in and ask you a couple questions here because you come with a lot of knowledge, and you're like one of the best shows we have when we talk about Little Moments Count. We're really glad to see you again. But, you know, as a lifelong child advocate, can you share experiences that have shaped your perspective on child care needs, you know, in particular for parents and grandparents in Indigenous communities?
Sure. You can hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. So I think what changed my career was the brain development in learning about historical trauma and, due to the boarding school. So that information, you know, I was in early childhood, but I understood the importance of, making sure the childcare classrooms are, you know, through a cultural lens whenever possible. To provide resources in there, to provide training, historical trauma training to and brain development to parents and caregivers of children, no matter what setting they are. So that's kind of been my goal for many years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, why is advocacy important in addressing, you know, the needs of our little ones?
Well, you know, when children are in any kind of childcare, whether it's informal FFN, like you and your wife, you're FFN caregivers.
Yay.
And Yay. And, you know, it's really important because when a child is in childcare full time, they're with that parent or that childcare provider more waking hours than a parent. So, you know, how critical is that to your child? So you definitely want a childcare program that reflects, you know, you, your family, you know, your community, and even, you know, language, whenever we can incorporate that into childcare. Because those little ones, you know how they are with, you know, their brains just soak up all that language. And so introducing it from infancy on up, are even speaking to while they're in the womb helps. So, you know, it's those missed opportunities that we're trying to help.
Well, Barb, we're going to take a quick break here. And Barb Fabre is CEO of Indigenous Visioning and a White Earth Ojibwe member. And we'll be right back after this short break.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
Native Americans are more likely than white or Asian Americans to develop Alzheimer's or other dementias. Yet our indigenous relatives remain significantly underrepresented in research. The Alzheimer's Association of Minnesota and North Dakota invites you to a special virtual event addressing dementia prevention and treatment for Native Americans. Join this Friday from 11:30 to 12:30 for a virtual presentation by Dr. William G. Manti as he explores disparities in dementia research and the unique challenges faced by Native American communities. Learn how partnering with tribal nations as essential decision makers can create better outcomes towards finally beating dementia. November is National Native American Heritage Month. This is a time to recognize the systemic barriers to dementia care, such as affordability, faced by 61% of Native Americans. With nearly 102,000 people living with Alzheimer's in Minnesota alone, the need for equitable research and care has never been greater. So join the effort to create a brighter future for our elders. That's a presentation about Alzheimer's and dementia impacting Indigenous Minnesotans this Friday from 11:30 to 12:30. Find the registration link at am950radio.com.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. They'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This segment of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Little Moments Count. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, we have our friend Barb Fabre on as CEO of Indigenous Visioning and a White Earth Ojibwe member. Hey, welcome back, Barb. Really good to see you again. And it's crazy. It's taken me a while, like 36 years or so, to remember how these little brains work on these babies. And every week we see our little twins, Wendy watching them Wednesdays and Thursdays, it's like a whole different person. They're laughing and giggling at me, and I'm not even telling jokes.
Yeah, isn't it surprising? I always say that. I wish I knew what I do now when my children were that age. But, you know, our grandkids are benefiting from our knowledge and wisdom right now, right?
Right.
So, yeah, and we need to make sure that, you know, the people caring for our children are supported and to provide that best, the best care possible, you know, and to bring, you know, literacy and art and music and, you know, culture, language whenever we can in the classroom or in a home setting like FFN care.
Right on. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. And I got to pull out the Ho-Chunk dictionary and start really speaking to them. So do child care needs differ in Indigenous families compared to those in other communities?
I would say so. It's, you know, there's a child care crisis everywhere. But with, you know, our communities, child care isn't as prominent in the non-tribal communities. There's more in those communities than there is in tribal communities. So the good thing is that tribes, I believe there's 264 tribal grantees of the Federal Child Care Development Block Grant, also known as Child Care Development Fund. And those funds go to states and tribes to help create child care systems and to support child care systems and provide access and affordability to child care for families. So, you know, we just need to, you know, keep working at it. It is growing. Child care is growing out in Indian country. You know, it's at a slow pace, but it's happening, and there's a lot of good things happening out there. And wow, tribes have so much sovereignty, you know, and flexibility. Or through sovereignty, they have so many flexibilities with those fundings to make sure that there's a child care system there.
Wow. Well, what specific challenges do parents and grandparents face in accessing quality child care, you know, and how can they voice their concerns?
Yeah, well, great question. You know, there's a lot of things. For example, that federal funding I was just speaking about, the states and tribes need to have public hearings in, I believe, on an annual basis. And so, you know, they can go to those and, you know, listen to what the child care program is doing and get input from parents and community members. It's good if, you know, parents and grandparents, for example, guardians, you know, in tribal communities, there's a lot of grandparents caring for their their grandchildren, 365 days a year, Sorry. And so, you know, those parents are really struggling. And so it's just getting them resources and connecting them with local child care service providers.
Yeah. Well, you know, go ahead. Sorry, Barb.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to add and help them navigate the online system. There's a lot of resources online, but if, you know, they don't have a computer and they're not familiar with the computer, you know, they really need those supports.
Yeah, I agree. You know, many businesses don't realize how critical child care is and is for employee retention too and recruitment.
Oh, huge, huge. You know, you can talk to any employer anywhere of any size, and they know about the child care crisis because they have employees, you know, calling in. They can't come in today, or their provider's sick. So, or whatever the case, they hear those that's something their HR offices know a lot about, because that's probably the most often, you know,
right,
concern.
Yeah, especially since COVID too, because a lot of people didn't go back right away, and part of it is, you know, am I breaking even on child care and things like that. So that really makes sense.
Right. And, you know, child care is, you know, a business, a small business. So, you know, we're seeing a little bit of an uptick of providers doing it out of their home and becoming their own business. We have, thanks to COVID and all the COVID dollars, there's more child care centers going up around the country. Fond du Lac just opened a brand new one. Leech Lake did. White Earth. So, you know, those are positive things. And, you know, just sharing resources. And I encourage community members to reach out to their local childcare and see what's out there, see what's available, and get involved.
Yeah, well, you know, some parents and grandparents have created their own childcare situation. How can we help promote that and those kind of solutions in our community too?
Absolutely. You know, and there's that those federal dollars, those are provided to help, you know, anybody get into the childcare business, are to help parents pay for childcare. They also, it also funds quality to make sure, you know, training. So, you know, those funds are really critical to our communities. And that's, you know, I just encourage people to find, you know, if you're a tribal member, go to the tribe and ask, you know, who and what, and go visit them. If you're a county, same thing. Who's providing childcare at the county level? And develop that relationship. Whether you're a business person with staff, or you're a parent or guardian looking for childcare and how to pay for it, or if you want to become licensed, yeah, lots of resources out there.
That's awesome. So, you know, a lot of people struggle because of the distance too of the childcare. Maybe it's the opposite way where their work is, or, you know, in the rural area, it's hundreds and hundreds of miles away at times. How can we support that, and how can we advocate for that?
Well, it's, again, getting, if you're in a tribal community, talking to your tribal childcare program and your tribal leaders about, you know, the tribe doing their own tribal licensing of family childcare providers, or, you know, licensing a center. So, you know, it's culturally relevant, it's monitored by the tribe, and it's likely local people. And so, you know, childcare can be started up just about anywhere, as long as, you know, the home can meet licensing, which is not hard. It sounds, you know, a little scary, but it really isn't. And the licensors, especially tribal ones that I know, really work with that childcare, that person, to help them get their home ready for childcare. So it's not a just, you know, no, it's not good. They've got resources to help meet all the licensing requirements. So it's things like that, finding, you know, a building, having a co-op of childcare providers sharing a building. I mean, there's so many different types of childcare now because of the need.
Yeah. Am I, is it fair to assume that when tribal organizations help people, they need to be on the res, so to speak? Or can they be urban Indians too? Or
unfortunately, the way the Child Care Development Block Grant is for tribes, it says they can only go up to 35 miles off their reservation borderline. Mm-hmm. And it's not in statute. So this is a government ruling. And, you know, I think tribes should be allowed to help their members in down in an urban setting like Minneapolis. There's, mm-hmm. you know, thousands, you know, 800,000 is the last time I heard, you know, count down there. And that mm-hmm. was quite a few years ago. So, you know, and if a lot more, you know, and as far as I know, down there, there's 5 tribal child early childhood programs.
Yeah.
To serve all those 800,000, you know, tribal people living down there. So without those resources, you know, it's harder. It's harder. And so I think tribes should be allowed. And tribal leaders can talk to, you know, during tribal and state consultations or tribal and federal consultations, you know, talk to them about it and see why that's in there, because it's not in statute. So and then they too have public hearings on that federal law, so people can get involved. You can get National Congress American Indians, you know.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Power outages and down trees reported in and around Mobile, Alabama. CBS News meteorologist Nikki Nolan says it happened after the National Weather Service issued a tornado warning for the area today.
It was confirmed that this was a tornado and that all must shelter in place, including the National Weather Service. And they needed to give off their responsibilities over to the nearest National Weather Service out of New Orleans.
Renowned CBS sports anchor and commentator Greg Gumbel has died of cancer at 78. CBS's Jerika Duncan says of Gumbel's family,
they said Greg approached his illness like one would expect he would, with stoicism, grace, and positivity.
President-elect Donald Trump is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to pause the potential ban on TikTok. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Oral arguments are scheduled for January 10th to determine whether to ban the social media platform in the U.S. unless TikTok agrees to divest from its China-based parent company.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks lose to Brooklyn. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks looked like they were on their way to another home victory until the Nets took command late in the fourth quarter to win 111-105. A disappointed Bobby Portis, who scored 18, sat at his locker after the loss.
Yeah, we could have won that game tonight. We were up. We had momentum. They jumped on us in the fourth quarter, got momentum, and then we didn't recover. It sucks, but we'll be back Saturday. We're going to get a win.
The Bucks travel to Chicago to play the Bulls tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers getting ready for their rematch against the Minnesota Vikings Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. Green Bay lost at home to the Vikings week 4, 31-29. The Vikings led 28-7 at the half.
Yeah, I think overall, I think it wasn't our best game. Obviously, I think just too many turnovers, and I think we just got in a hole early.
We just got off to a slow start, put ourselves in a hole, and you know, I like the way we finished. We did some good things in the second half, but just not good enough in the first half.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In typecasting news, actor Jared Leto will play the role of Skeletor in the new live-action film Masters of the Universe. Leto is embracing the villain role as the skeleton who is a skull-faced archenemy of He-Man. The Oscar-winning actor and star of Dallas Buyers Club has agreed to join the project alongside director Travis Knight. Cast members already in place include Alison Brie and Idris Elba. Leto embraces playing outlandish characters. MGM Amazon is the studio behind the film, which opens June 5th, 2026. There are those who don't think COVID was real. 1923 actress Danielle Vasanova is not one of them. Vasanova starred in 1923, the Yellowstone prequel, and she was one of the first people to suffer from COVID-19 long before it became widespread. The actress said she was diagnosed with strep throat, but shortly after, her organs shut down, and she died for 3 minutes. Vasanova will star opposite Michelle Pfeiffer in a new Yellowstone spinoff called Madison. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight with areas of rain, maybe a little mixed snow, foggy and lows in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, a slow clearing, highs in the low 40s, and near 40 and partly sunny Sunday. Mostly cloudy Monday, another chance for showers, highs upper 30s. It's 39 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, what does former FBI and CIA Director William Webster have to say about Cash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Also, our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey Kay, on the rise of homelessness and political exhaustion. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and happy 20th day of Native American Heritage Month. Welcome, Arvina.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's always great to have you, and it's a Ho-Chunk day. We have three Ho-Chunks now on the show, and so what cannot go wrong? And it's just a beautiful day, even though it's snowing here in Minnesota.
It's snowing here, too, in Madison.
Oh, geez. Well, yeah. That was enough of the weather report there. Hey, so yesterday was Red Shawl Day. Did you do anything? Did you wear a red shawl? Did you go to any things going on?
I did not. We didn't have a lot of activities around here. So I didn't get to do anything. How about you?
No, and I don't know what happened to my red shawl. I don't know where it is, but not since the, what is the dance called when the switch dance, not since I've had a switch dance if I had a red shawl, but So it's, well, Red Shawl Day is, for Native American and Alaskan Native women who are missing and murdered and of the rate of more than 10 times the national average, and wearing red brings attention to the acts of violence committed against Indigenous people. And so we just wanted to bring that up anyways.
Yeah, an important day for visibility and for an issue that's important to all of us.
Well, how are you holding out? I hear it's earlier this week, it was your birthday.
Yes, it was. The big 4-5.
What?
No way. Yeah.
No way.
Yep. Sure yep, am.
Well, happy birthday. Ho-chan yonke beske.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a great day watching the Packers beat the Bears last minute by 1 point with a blocked field goal. That was a nice birthday present.
Yeah, it was funny. I saw the score and I went, okay, the Bears are going to win. And then I hear like an hour later, that didn't even happen. And seeing all the Bear fans on social media, just saying things like we do here in Minnesota when it comes to like, oh, we're terrible and we're never going to win. And sounded like a bunch of Minnesota whiners, but they were Chicago whiners.
Chicago whiners, yeah. And they, I guess the last time that the Bears beat the Packers was in 2018. So it's been a while. The joke on that I've seen on social media is that Aaron Rodgers passed his ownership of the Bears to Jordan Love. So now Jordan Love owns the Bears.
Wow, that's great. Hey, today is Transgender Day and of Remembrance, and today honors the memory of the transgender people whose lives were lost in acts of anti-transgender violence. And we just want to mention that. And I know in Madison, there's a big community. And of course, here in the Twin Cities, we just got to mention that.
Yeah, especially, going into a new presidential administration that seems to be vastly different than the current one. And, we need to stand with our trans siblings and make sure that the rights that we all have are rights that they are being afforded as well, making sure that they can, use the bathroom where they feel safest, where, be able to change their names and the markers that they need and be provided care. There's just so much at stake, and we need to make sure that we are looking out for our trans siblings.
Well, I feel personally rejuvenated now and ready to go. And I am going to be dropping Twitter or X And I'm on this app called Blue Sky, and I saw somebody named Arbina Martin on there. I tried to friend.
Yeah, I made the switch over to Blue. Actually, I had had a Blue Sky account for a while, but didn't use it very much, or, you know, just to read things, not necessarily to post. And now I'm moving over there too. I feel icky using Twitter. I have not gone on in quite a while. So, you know, I it's time. I'm glad that people are moving to different platforms, and Blue Sky seems pretty cool so far. I also like Threads as well, for a similar kind of Twitter-esque feel. But yeah, there's some pretty cool stuff. And I got included on one of those native Blue Sky starter packs. And so my feed right now is almost entirely related to Indigenous issues, and it's really cool. And I'm really learning a lot, particularly learning a lot more about issues happening out in Hawaii as well as New Zealand. So,
yeah, well, I'll have to do the starter pack one step at a time for me. I didn't get to that point. I just I saw you and I said, I want to friend you. And so all the natives I see out there, I was friending. So I'm up to like 36, so I'm on my way.
Excellent. Excellent.
Haley, are you on Blue Sky?
No, unfortunately. I've spent so much time kind of creating my own X or Twitter algorithm. Mine's still pretty funny. I don't use it. Like, I don't post on there, but It's probably the platform I use the least, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Well, new time's coming, and, you know, we have a lot of things to talk about, like the cabinet appointments. I know we get a lot of good information from you, Arbina, about that. And it's been hard for me to look at, you know, the mass media now, because the weird stuff like, you know, the Morning Joe is having President Trump on there. And I'm just going, it's an upside down world even more.
Yeah, I was disappointed hearing about Joe and Mika from Morning Joe going to meet with Trump. That's wild, but you know, I guess you never know what you're going to do in somebody else's shoes, I suppose. But yeah, these cabinet appointments have been pretty off the wall, and you know, you're seeing even conservative people be like. Why Dr. Oz for like Medicaid and Medicare? You know, like, that's, it's just like somebody said, you can't get an appointment to the cabinet without having been on TV, because so many of his folks are, or his appointments are people that have been on, say, Fox News or other similar channels.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's like almost like, the Democrats should almost vote these guys in and let it burn. My goodness. It's like, show it, you know, like Matt Gaetz. He went directly from law school and being a lawyer, never litigating on anything, right into politics. So how could he even be attorney general? Not to even mention about what he's got up against him with all this pedophile stuff with young girls.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's scary to think that we may not see what that report says. I believe the last I heard that the ethics committee is like deadlocked in terms of deciding whether to open or closed the report and evidence and such from the report. Which is scary and sad. And, you know, and Matt Gaetz is just awful. You know, we know this. And having somebody that has such a checkered ethical past in one of these positions, let alone as top cop for the country, it's really, you know, it does the position a disservice, and it does all of us a disservice to have folks that are not competent, you know, it's wild. I go back to Dr. Oz, you know, that's he doesn't know anything. He pushes quackery and homeopathy and and things that are not data driven. You know, yikes.
Well, how could one person destroy their family name too, or at least attempt to, with Bobby Kennedy Jr. now being the head of the HHCDA, or not H? That's Ho Chunk Talk. I'm in the wrong job here, but help me out here.
Kind of perked up. He was like, "When did that happen?"
Oh, yeah, right. And he's not even Ho Chunk. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Oh my God. But Bobby Kennedy, you know, being the head of medical decisions and, you know, being an anti-vaxxer, it's just strike one, and then also being a lunatic.
Absolutely. He's also, you know, I saw that he, you know, kind of made RFK Jr. kind of kiss the ring and such in that picture.
With McDonald's picture?
Plane with McDonald's because he doesn't like fast food, and that, right, you know, is him acquiescing to Trump and Trump getting to yet again show his dominance over somebody, which is really sad for both, both of them, you know?
And what a great name, too. I grew up with the Kennedy name, other than the big Chappaquiddick thing with Ted, but Bobby and John were good for the country, and yeah, and then these also had some good nephews and that have run and have been in the Senate and the House too.
Yeah, and think about, you know, people nowadays, if you say what do you think of when you hear RFK instead of you know, Attorney General or, you know, Kennedy brother, you get brainworms. You know,
hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. We're talking a little bit about everything but these cabinet things, seats. We'll have to talk a little bit more about that. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back with Haley and Arvina. We'll be right back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center. Visit during free Thursday nights. Every week from 5 to 9 p.m., there's something new to explore. Enjoy date-friendly events like artist talks, performances, and exhibition openings, or explore art-making, open library hours, and exhibition tours. Settle into your weekend among community. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, did I blow that, Haley, or what?
I think you forgot.
Let me just, I was reading our show notes here, and I got out of control here.
That's okay.
Phew. Hey, we're here with Irvina Martin and Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking about cabinets. But I want to mention a quick thing before we get back into that, and that's we happen to have talking to the president of Stockbridge Muncie yesterday, and what a great leader she is. And it was great to have her on, and I haven't seen Shannon in a while, and it was really fun to catch up. But we have a lot of great tribal leaders, and thank goodness for that.
Yeah, Shannon has been a really effective leader in Stockbridge Muncie. I'm Stockbridge Muncie through my dad's side. And so, you know, she has done so much for the Stockbridge community, and is really a strong voice for her constituents. For the folks that she serves, you know, she gives her all. And I, you know, it's really exciting to me to see such a dynamic young Native woman leader, you know, in the rooms making decisions. I'm a fan, if you can't tell.
Well, so am I. And I didn't realize there was a couple things that it sounded like there's only a 2-year term. And she's been reelected 5 times. She's been president for 10 years, which blew my mind, those two things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you're Ho-Chunk and your president changes every term, you know, we're not used to more of the same longevity. But, you know, I think that you know, having someone in office that knows what they're doing and having that kind of continuity is really, really great, and leads to so much, you know, that the longer that you are in that particular position, you know, the better you are at it. I mean, in theory. So, you know, there's plenty of people that coast, but, you know, you'd think that they would be the most efficient and in terms of getting things done, working with other people, you know, all the qualities that you want to have in a leader, you know, they're able to hone during their time.
And it's a good time to have good leaders, because we're going to be dealing with Project 2025 and be able to keep our sovereignty and stay on top of things and not fall asleep behind the wheel. So it's a red alert time for a lot of people, including tribal nations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was looking earlier at the potential nominee for the Department of Interior, and it looks like he wants to appoint Doug Burgum, who's the governor of North Dakota. And it sounds like we have, you know, there are like all of these like atrocious nominees, and it sounds like maybe this one might not be so bad. It sounds like, since he, you know, is from North Dakota, that he has familiarity with tribes and tribal sovereignty, and fingers crossed, you know, that he kind of keeps working that, as opposed to whatever fresh hell is in Project 2025. I know I tried to look up things that would have to do with tribes, and there was like, we were not in there, as far as I could see. I don't know if anybody else has tried to do the deep dive and see something together, but I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I'll have to send you that. I got some pages and some paragraphs to send you. So it is red alert, but also too, when you talk about the Dakotas, I hear Christy Noem's name mentioned, and she's been like exiled from 11 tribes she can't come on in her state. So, wow.
I mean, maybe we need to start using these tools that we have, like banishment, maybe we need to start using them more often, because, you know, I could see her getting an interior nod as well. But if you're banned from all of the tribal communities that you already represent, you know, how you're going to make it 570, whatever, however many tribal right. communities there are in the United States, get banished from all of them.
So. Well, and close the borders, which is interesting. In Dakotas, they tried to, and I know some of our friends too down south were able to during COVID close the borders.
Oh, that's interesting. And you know, tribes having that kind of ability through their sovereignty to be able to enforce borders and such. You know, it'll be interesting to see how that relationship develops between the federal government and tribes, particularly for tribes that are near borders or on borders. Mm-hmm. You know, what anything that has to do with this guy, this next incoming guy, you know, I know that I can't I don't want to anticipate what he's going to do, because somehow he always ends up doing something worse than I anticipate. Huh. You know, so.
Well, we were able to statewide with our attorney generals, a lot of them block a lot of his bad legislation in round one. And hopefully, I know we're revved up here with our attorney general. Keith Ellison is talking about that openly. And I appreciate his candor in that they were able to stop quite a few things the first time around.
I mean, we need to be looking at all the tools in our collective toolbox, you know, and making sure that we're utilizing the judicial branch in terms of vetting these rules or these laws that they're attempting to pass, you know, so that we can really like weed out the ones that are the most dangerous and the ones that are going to do the most harm to so many people. And so absolutely judicial action, prosecuting, you know, suing, like that's another tool in that toolbox. And we should use all the tools that we can, because, you know, just the stakes are so high.
Well, and again, Haley and I earlier in the show were talking about, Haley, you want to bring that up, where we had some relatives, Native relatives, kids walking out there, and some people were calling the feds on them because they were illegal immigrants.
Yeah, I think I sent you that video, Arvina, the students on the field trip, the Native students in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah, I watched that. It's wild.
Yeah.
My jaw's on the ground.
Right. So, well, it's so, again, I need to get that baseball cap that I saw the first time around, and it was a blue hat, and it said, "Make racists afraid again." And yeah. We're going to have a good go to it here these next 4 years, and we need to be on top of it and vigilant.
Yeah. Can't go home if you're already from here, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That happened to me one time during the Act 10 protests here. There was a conservative guy that told me to go back to where I came from. I'm like, sir, I'm Ho-Chunk. We're from here. Why don't you go back to where you came from? Which I was really excited that my brain thought of it quick enough.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan into the studio. Then Chicago comedians Bill Gorgo and Jim McHugh join the show to promote a New Year's Eve extravaganza in Port Washington. Let's light it up.
Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Something magical happens when you unbox the best of British TV with BritBox. Stream acclaimed series starring Olivia Colman, Idris Elba, Sophie Turner, Matthew McFadyen, and more of Britain's brightest talent. See what's inside, discover something remarkable, and uncover what perhaps you were looking for all along. Unbox BritBox and stream the best of British TV. Start your free trial at BritBox.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The South is still getting hard hit by severe weather, according to CBS's Rob Marciano.
The radar is very active from New Orleans, Slidell, up through Gulfport, in through Birmingham, Alabama, all the way up through Knoxville and beyond. These storms are still pretty potent, but they should begin to wane as they push off towards the east.
In a letter to Congress, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says her agency may need to take extraordinary measures or accounting procedures as early as January 14th if lawmakers fail to raise the debt ceiling. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
The federal debt presently stands at roughly $36 trillion and has grown during both Republican and Democratic administrations.
There has been a double-digit jump in American homelessness compared to last year, according to the federal government. More from CBS's Lilia Luciano.
The United States Department of Housing and Urban Development blames the record-breaking increase on the rising cost of living.
It costs more to rent a modest apartment than people make in a modest job.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.